please, to Romans chapter 12. First two verses, very familiar scripture. It's something that I heard the other day, and a thought hit me. They shared three things, and I couldn't get away from that, trying to deal with some things in my own life and pray that God would help me, and I pray He would help you as we look at this together. And how many of you saved? Know you're saved. Amen. You know you're saved. Amen. Praise God, that's good. Now, how many of you want to serve the Lord? Amen. Amen. Pretty good. Not quite as good as the first one, but I wasn't too sure. But I didn't mean to sneak that in on you. I just kind of trying to find out myself. But I've got some things I want to share with you about three essentials for serving the Lord. And, of course, we got to want to, that's for sure. And we got to have that. But I think just they could be added to many more. But I just want to share these three things with you to help me thinking on them, meditating on them. And I just pray it'll be a help to you. This scripture is familiar, and you have looked at it many times, been preached many times, and I'm sure different things brought out of it, and many things can be and should be. But let's stand, please, while I read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us. Father, thank you again for the privilege of prayer, and Lord, to sing the songs have been a blessing to our hearts. And time of prayer together around the altar, what a privilege it is. And our Father, tonight we come and knowing that on the prayer list and those written in, many, many needs, many burdens, and many people caring about others. And so I join with them and pray for them and ask in Jesus' name that you'd help us ever have the right attitude and right compassion that we need to have. And Father, surely we need that compassion for others that we may be able to help them as you help us. And Father, we surely need help. And Lord, tonight, I'm thankful for all the response we got and being those being saved, but I do pray for those that are not saved that Holy Spirit would speak to their heart and deal with them. And I realize, Lord, without you, nothing will happen, but I pray the Holy Ghost would do a work in their hearts tonight. Then, Heavenly Father, I pray as we stand here that we recognize the fact our need. And I pray for that divine touch of God. You help us and we'll praise you and thank you. Lord, realizing the fact that without you we can do nothing. So we stand here as a needy creature. And Father, tonight, on this Wednesday night, I pray you'd stir our hearts about serving you and having a desire to do so. And Father, help us, I pray, that we'll look in thy word and find some truths that'll help us. And we'll praise you and thank you. Even now, we thank you for being so good to us in so many ways. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about these three essentials for serving the Lord, and I had thought about something I'd like to share with you in introduction, but I think I'll save that and get that toward the end of the message, because without what I'm talking about at the end of it, the rest of it won't work anyway. But I ask if you're saved, and I got a whole lot of response about that. Not everybody in this house is saved. Not everybody here tonight know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's some that are not saved. My heart's desire is they'll be saved. But then we ask the question, do you want to serve the Lord? And I got a pretty good response out of that. And I believe that people really think about it. And I know we hesitate to say that because we're not sure what the preacher's going to ask us next. He might ask us to do something right then. We're not sure whether we want to do it right then or not. We will serve the Lord someday, somewhere. So we're a little cautious about how we answer, and I understand that. And but I think everybody here that's really saved and really knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you came right down to it, you'd say, I do want to please the Lord. And you can't please the Lord without serving the Lord. And so, because he says we'd be his servants, and we know that. And we're in his army. He's the one in charge. We're the ones that's supposed to be in the battlefield. And so we're the ones that are doing the serving. And he's the Lord of all, king. And so we serve him. But as we do this and think about it, let me just share three things quickly with you tonight. And first of all is the will of God. The will of God. And if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to know the will of God. And in thinking about this, look at verse number 2 of our text. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I looked at that and thought about it and meditated on it. And I realized that in context, I think we'd have to say that he's talking singular about good and acceptable and perfect being the same thing, will of God. I think we'd have to all conclude that fact. But I did get to thinking about it. So there is a permissive will of God, and there is a directive will of God. You say, preacher, now, will of God's will of God. Well, let me illustrate that to you. When Balaam was sent for to go down to curse Israel, God told him not to go. But they kept coming after him and tempting him and about things and putting that out in front of him. Finally, he went. Now, God could have stopped him from going. God could have killed him. God could have let him die right there. But he allowed him to go. Why did he allow? Permissive will of God. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he should have went to Nineveh straight on without going through the belly of the fish, but he did not choose to do so. He went the wrong way. And God permitted him to go the wrong way, but he paid the price while he's in the wrong way and finally got where he's supposed to be going. And so it's important that we find the will of God and know that will of God. So I pray that God would help us as we think about that tonight. And as you think about the will of God, I want you to back up and look at the first part of verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And he's talking to brethren. He's talking to saved people. Now, you can't know the will of God unless you're saved, because it is the will of God that you be saved. Now, you can know that part of the will of God, but that's as far as you can go, because you're not saved. You're not led by the Holy Spirit. You don't know understanding of the Word of God without the Spirit of God. And therefore, how can you seek God's will, how you can serve God when you don't know God? You have to be saved first of all. And he said, brethren. So if you're saved tonight, you're a brother in Christ or sister in Christ. And so he's beseeching them. And he said, I beseech you, I beg of you. I want you to listen to me, what he's saying. And saying, here we're trying to find the will of God. And so he said, I beseech you. And if you're not saved, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You say, preacher, why should I be saved? Because God said so, number one. And because you can't know God without being saved. And because you certainly can't enjoy the blessings of God without being saved. And you never know what heaven's like without being saved. And you will burn in hell forever if you don't get saved. And there's a whole lot of things you can list under that why you ought to be saved. And so you ought to be saved tonight. And that we might find that will of God for your life in serving him. And so we would establish the fact that there is a permissive and a directive will of God. And how do you know? You got to be saved, born in the family of God. And that's the first step of it. And the night you're not saved, the first step you need to make is out from where you are and toward an old-fashioned altar and come and cry to God, I need to get saved. And I'm repent. I trust Jesus. It's not the words you put in. It's what's in your heart that God knows. When you come to an old-fashioned altar and plead with God to save you, it's not the exact wording that you use. It's for the sincerity of it is. If you're sincerely wanting to be saved and sincerely, and I get that word about got it not out, But I finally spit it out sincerely, mean business with God. And you know that you mean business with God. He knows you mean business with God. You're a good candidate to be saved. And then he said, brethren, I beseech you by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we really want to know what the will of God is, we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If we're not willing for our bodies to be used, how can we serve the Lord? You can't serve the Lord if you're not a willing vessel. And because what God wants you to do certainly won't be what the flesh wants to do. It never is, because the flesh is always at war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And so if you're going to find the will of God and serving God, you'll have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If God loved me and gave himself for me, then I ought to, in return, love him and give myself to him that he may live in me. God first died for us and sought us. Now he wants us to yield ourselves to him and seek him and his will for our lives that we may. We're not puppets on a string, by the way. God didn't make us little puppets. He just pull a string, we do this and do that and do the other and please him all the time. No, he gave us a free choice. That's why some people don't get saved. They got a choice not to be saved. And God deals with them and they got a choice to make. They either accept or reject. Same thing about serving the Lord. God deals with your heart about it and wherever that serving is. And let me plug this in right here. When I say serve the Lord, I'm not talking about necessarily preaching or necessarily singing a song or necessarily teaching a class or whatever it is. There's all kinds of service of the Lord that you do, and it's all important. And one's as important as the other as long as that's what God wants you to do. Whatever it is God wants you to do, that's what God wants you to do. That's an important thing in your life. And Brother Mark made a statement a while ago. He said he believed God was going to let him hang around a while and make sure his preacher taken care of. I kind of started praying harder for him. What he was saying is, I'm not the preacher, but I've got a responsibility to back him up. I got a responsibility for that. That's part of that's serving God. And somebody's singing, you're praying for him. That's serving God. And if whatever's going on in the service, invitation going on, and you're praying, asking God to help somebody there that needs to get saved, you're serving God. And God lays on your heart to witness, and you do that, you're serving God. And God lays on your heart to call somebody, and you do that, that's serving God. And you serve the Lord. And I want you to know, coming to church, and in a sense, you're serving the Lord in coming to church. But we come to church so we can get something to help us go out and serve the Lord. And we can't come in to get fed. And you ever been working out in a field somewhere and get real hungry and thirsty? And then it comes dinner time, and you come in, and you get in and get eaten, and you feel better, and then you're ready to go back out and work some more. That's kind of how what church is like. You've been out in the field laboring and trying to get people saved and working with people and trying your best to do what God wants you to do. Then you come in the house of God and get something to feed you so you can go back out and do some more. And so we do that. Of course, we do serve God in the house of God, singing the song for the glory of God, serving God, preaching the message for the glory of God, serving God, and praying there in the pew is serving God. So we have always different ways of serving God. And so we see this and want to let God help us. And he said, be not conformed. Look in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I'm thinking about that. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother, one time, I quoted this verse a lot of times, and I was leaving out renewing your mind. And he reminded me of it, and I appreciated it, because he did it kindly and lovingly. He didn't mean anything, but just let me know that I was leaving out that renewing of your mind. We'd got to talk about it a little bit. And I appreciated that so very much, because I don't want to leave that out, because we do need to have our mind renewed. If it's not renewed, it's still back in the world. If it's back in the world, you're never going to find the will of God and serving God, because you're thinking like the world thinks and trying to act like the world acts, and that's a mess, sure enough. And I don't want to get started too much on that right now, but I'm telling you, it's a mess when you try to mix up the world with God and trying to serve God and mix with the world at the same time, you're in trouble. Amen. Big trouble. And but God knows about all of that. But anyway, so don't be conformed to this world. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let God help you, and he'll do that. And may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And that brings me to the next point, that word prove, that you may prove why is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I said, first of all, we need to know the will of God, or you can call it, if you want to alliterate it, call it the plan, and call this the purpose, but it is for the glory of God. Gives God glory. Whatever we do, if we're going to serve God, it ought to be to give him glory. Amen. I don't care what it is. If it doesn't give him glory, it's not really serving God. If all what you do is just doing it so somebody will speak well of you and they may think you're really doing something, then you're not really serving God anyhow. And I remember preaching here the other week up at when we had the Bible mission school. And we was having mission school and I getting ready to preach. I never had thought about it just like that. And that night, we had some things going on before, and then I got ready to preach and asked God to help, and I forgot about everything else and just got in there. I said, I'm not looking for a church. I'm not looking for a place to preach a revival. I'm getting past that. I've turned down some this year already. So I'm not looking for any of that. I'm not even looking for a wife. I said, boy, one of you liked that, didn't you? And then I said, all I'm looking for is to please God. To please God. If I please God, everything else will be all right. If I just preach what God wants me to preach, it doesn't make any difference about all the rest of it. And if we're not careful as preachers or missionaries or singers or whoever, whatever we're doing, teachers or whatever, we'll get to the place where we think we can do it. And we kind of get the idea that we need some pats on the back. Nobody grunts or nobody shakes their hand and nobody says anything, then we get kind of irritated a little bit down inside and discouraged. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look innocent on it. And you go someplace and they pat you on the back and shake hands with you and hug your neck and tell you how good you did and all that, and you feel good and all the rest of it. But what's really important is not all that. What's really important is, what did God think of it? Did I please God? Did I really do what God wanted me to do? You can have the best talent in the world, but if God isn't on it, it's not worth a flip. Amen. So give God the glory. Everything we do, we ought to give God the glory for it. Amen. He ought to get glory out of it. He said, I'm the vine. And for John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And so we need to understand that. And giving God glory is dependent on him to help us and do that for his glory and his honor. Teaching Sunday school, preaching a message, singing a song, playing a piano, taking an offering, ushering whatever way it is, mowing the yard or cleaning the building, whatever we do, we ought to do it for the glory of God, to please him and bring glory to him. Amen. And that's what's really important. Some folk do things that nobody else ever knows anything about, but it brings glory to God. You know why? Because it's God's will for them to do what they do. And it may be something you never know about. I may never know about it, but God knows about it. And they're serving the Lord. And that's important. I say to you tonight that we ought to serve God. Find the will of God. Be in the will of God. And you'll never really be pleasing to God unless you're in the will of God. And we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not to own understanding. All our ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. And I believe that he'll direct our paths. Not always the way we think it ought to go, but he will direct our paths in the right way if we'll trust him fully, completely, and totally. Let me say thirdly, and I'll try to bring it to a close, and just thinking about this, if you're alliterating it, put power down here. We had the plan and the purpose and now the power, and we're talking about the power of God. And I just quoted to you John 15:5, but in the Old Testament, you remember how they would anoint the men of God that would be in leadership, and that anointing meant something. It meant God had chosen them, and that anointing was upon them. And the kings and the priests, and you remember Aaron had the anointing oil upon him, and the Bible said in Psalms that it ran down his beard, and that anointing oil. I like the anointing power of God on my life, amen. And I want to say to you tonight, And I'm going to reiterate some things I just said a while ago about having a good voice or having an ability to speak. Some people have an ability to speak. They have a charisma about them that draws people to them. They can talk a good talk. They can do things that really look good, sound good. They can make everything around them look good and feel good. And so they have that charisma about them. But they don't have that touch of God, that power of God upon their life. That's not really going to get the job done. And then there's some people that can really, in the pulpit, they have that about them that they can remember, and they can get things out, and they can get it across. And some of them get down deep, and usually putting cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get it. I can't get no higher, but anyway, that's all right. That's what God called me to do. And if God wanted me to be a great preacher using great words, he'd give me ability to do that. But I just use simple words. Amen. About the biggest word I know is elephant. I'm not even sure I can spell it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say to you, I'd rather have God on me than have all the education and all the rest of it put together and all the titles that follow. I'd rather have God than anything I know of. And then I've learned a long time ago that it's God that we need. And it's God that we need. And I've had a real burden about people being saved, getting people saved, and seeing things happen in church. Human as I am and as you are, we all sometimes get discouraged and have disappointments and things. God reminds me it's his church. And he reminds me that it's his business about saving people, and it's his business to take his word and do what he wants to do with it. He said, my word will not return void. It will accomplish wherein I send it. And so my purpose and my responsibility is to find the will of God in my life and give myself to him. Let him take me, whatever I am, as little as I am, how little that may be, it don't make any difference. Let God have it and him use it. Then the results will come as God sees fit to do so. God added church daily such as should be saved. And it's God's business, not my business. It's God's business. And so you may get up and sing. And I've seen people sing that had excellent talent. I mean, they could hit notes just right. And best I can hear notes, that is. And they could sing out and do that. But they wasn't any God on it. And be dead at 4:00. I've seen somebody else get up, didn't maybe not have quite the talent they had or didn't have quite the goods they had, but boy, they had God all over them. And when they sung, God got around that place. I say hallelujah. I like it when God gets around the place. Amen. I've seen some preachers, you'd have thought couldn't have preached the way of a paper bag. They get in the pulpit and God get on, they get the preaching, hallelujah, and power of God come down. And people get excited and people get under conviction. People get saved. Things happen for the glory of God. I'd rather have that. Amen. I'd rather have that. Hey, listen, it's not in the name. It's not in the abilities we have. It's not in all that stuff. It's in the anointing power of the Holy Ghost of God that gets the job done. And we're just going to try by our best around here to stick by that and keep going like that. Amen. I don't want to drag in the world trying to get people in. I don't want to drag in something else trying to get people in. I want to see God do something in power. And you say, preacher, we're not seeing what we ought to see. We're not, but that's not God's fault. We need to do what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to believe God and trust God and let God do what he wants to do. One of these days, there's going to come a floodgate open up around here. And God going to come through here like a mighty rushing wind. May not be standing on our head gargling peanut butter, but we may be running around the building. There may be people running down the aisle or people running into the house wanting to get saved and get right with God. What's it take to get that, preacher? It takes people really sincere in their heart that love God. They want the will of God done. They want to be in the will of God. They want to find the will of God. They want to serve God. And then giving themselves a living sacrifice unto God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege, God, we have to open the Word of God and to think about these things. Lord, how we need to be in your will. How we need, Father, to have a purpose to glorify you, magnify you in all that's done and said. And then, Father, that we may know the power of God in our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet, please.